Revelation chapter 15. And let's look in verse 4. I think probably this is the reference that you have on the list that I gave you on the attribute of holiness, the holiness of God. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Thou only art holy. This word holy, Webster's gives the definition of this word holy to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, to be whole, to be entire or perfect in a moral sense. Another definition is moral excellency, absolute purity. It's really difficult to give a definition of holiness. It's almost like glory. Go to the dictionary to find the definition of glory, and it's just not satisfactory. We can say moral excellency, perfect purity, but it really doesn't do the justice to the holiness of God. One of the ways that you and I can get just a little handle on the holiness of God and help us to define it a little bit more is just a few verses from the Scripture. What the Scripture says about the holiness of God. The Scripture says that He is glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. And that simply means that when we talk about moral excellency, He's glorious in moral excellency. When we talk about purity, He's glorious in purity. But listen to these passages of Scripture. In 1 John chapter 5, and when the Lord wants to represent Himself to us in something that you and I can relate to, He wants us to know something of His purity, something of His holiness. He represents Himself to us under the symbol of light. Now, science tells us that the more pure light is, the whiter it is. And if you take pure light, it is pure white. You and I see the sun shining, but it's red in the afternoon. And you can look at it, and the reason it's red is because all these particles in the air between us and the light. But if the light, if the particles weren't there, you and I could not endure to see the brightness of the sun. So God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That depicts His holiness. There's no spot. There's no speck of impurity in God at all. He's light. And in Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. Two pure eyes. He cannot look upon sin. It's impossible. If God ever looked upon sin, He'd consume it. That's how pure He is. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. He loves righteous perfectly. And He hates iniquity perfectly. Let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. Now why? Because God cannot be tempted of evil. That's how pure, that's how holy He is. The angels were tempted, they failed. Adam and Eve, our parents, were tempted, and they failed. God cannot be tempted of evil. He's too pure. He's too holy. He's too white. So those verses, if you and I would think upon those and study them, they give us just a little bit more understanding or grasp of the holiness of God. He's holy in the Trinity of His person. You and I just sang that song. That He's holy. God the Father's holy. God the Son's holy. God the Holy Spirit is holy. The Lord Jesus, there in John chapter 17 and verse 11, He addressed the Father in this way. Holy Father. Now, nobody knows the Father like the Son. The Son knows what character He's of, and He addresses Him as Holy Father. Keep through Your own name those that You've given Me, Holy Father. The Son, in so many places, is called that Holy One. This holy thing that shall be born of You shall be called the Son of God. And the Father says of Him, Thou wilt not suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Separate from sinners. He was born of a sinful woman. He lived among sinful people, but He's separate from sin. He is the Holy Son of God. And everywhere you and I are told of the Spirit, that He is called the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. So truly it can be said that God in the Trinity of His person is holy. He's a holy God. Now here in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 15, some of the words here that stand out, one is this, Thou only art holy. Thou only. Holiness belongs exclusively to God. This word is used 654 times in the Bible. I counted 654 times this word is used in the Old and the New Testament. But it's not always speaking of the triune God. How can it be said then that He only is holy? Let's look at that just for a few minutes. Sometimes, let's look at it this way. Sometimes we read in the Bible that someone or something is holy. And it's called holy because it's consecrated to God. It's separated to the service or worship of God. And it's called holy. We read in the Scriptures of a holy Sabbath. And we know why He called it holy. God sanctified it and set it apart. That's the day that He rested upon. It was no more holy in and of itself than Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. But it was called the Holy Sabbath because God set it apart. He sanctified it for His honor, for His glory, a day of rest. We read of holy oil, of holy vessels, holy temple, holy ground, holy place, a holy nation, a holy priesthood, holy garments, holy prophets, holy apostles. And the meaning is all of these things were set aside. And God addressed them and declared them to be holy because they were set aside for His use, for His service, and for His glory. Now hold Romans chapter 15 and look over in reference to this in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul exhorts us here in this chapter to be holy. Not only holy in spirit, but holy in body. Now, how do we be holy in body? How do we become holy in body? Well, he tells us here in chapter 12 of Romans and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, all of these mercies that he's been talking about in the book of Romans, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Anything that's presented to God for His service, for His worship, for His glory, He terms it as holy. Your body turns as holy when you present it to Him. And that's our service, our reasonable service. Then secondly, not only things that set aside, sanctified, and not only those who set themselves aside for His glory, but sometimes those things are called holy that comes directly from God. Those things that come directly from Him are called holy. And by that I mean this. The law is holy. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. The commandments are holy. Why is the law holy? God gave it. Why is the commandment holy? God spake it. So we read of the holy law, the holy commandments. We read of the holy scripture. From a child you've known the holy scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathes them. Therefore, they're holy. The Holy Scripture. They come from God. We read of holy angels. Why is the angels called holy? Because God made them. God created the angels. The Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels. Why are the angels holy? Because they come from the hand of God. God created the holy angels. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 24, we read of a new creature. And He said to be holy. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So why are these things called holy? Because they come from the mouth of God. Scriptures are holy. The law is holy because it comes from God. Angels are holy because they're God's creation. The new man within is holy because God created him in righteousness and true holiness. And these have, now here's so important. These are holy because they derive their holiness from God. In and of themselves, they could have no holiness. The holiness they have comes from God. They're holy because they came from Him. The angels are holy because God created them. But before God, now listen to this, but before God ever spoke a word of Scripture, before He ever gave a written promise in His Word, before He ever created the angels, before He ever created new creatures within us, when God dwelt alone in eternity, nobody with Him, the triune God dwelt alone, He was infinitely and essential and immutably holy. Before there was anything else, the Word of God wasn't in its written form. There was no angels, there was no creatures at all, not even a world. God was essentially and independently and immutably holy. Anything or anyone that is said to be holy in whatever sense, it derives that holiness from God. Only God is independently holy. Therefore, it can be said in our text in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4, Thou only art holy. Only God is essentially and independently holy. This is why we read of the holy angels, since they are holy creatures and they have their holiness from God. He created them holy. Yet, though they're holy creatures, they are creatures still. And when those holy creatures stand before the Lord, what do they do? We're told that they cover their faces with their wings. The prophet Isaiah was said to be a holy prophet, along with all the other holy prophets. But when he stands before the Lord and sees His holiness, what does this holy man say? Woe is me, for I am undone. And our bodies, which are said to be holy, because we present them to the Lord, and yet before Him, these bodies are vile. Jesus Christ shall change our vile bodies. So all men, all things that are said to be holy, they are so because they are declared of God to be holy, or He makes them holy. But that holiness comes from Him. No creature or nothing is holy in and of itself. It derives that from God. But where does God get His holiness? He don't give many places. He is essentially holy. Essentially holy. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonder? The obvious answer is, there is none like You. There is none like You. And what's the essential difference? Holiness. 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 You and I have holy creatures. We are holy creatures, aren't we? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. and that creature is holy. But I tell you, if God doesn't support him, he falls. He falls. He can't even support himself. God has to hold him up and support him. But none holds God up in his holiness. Now, here in our text, something else. So we see there that God is holy, and he only is holy. That means he only is essentially and independently and eternally and immutably holy. But we see something else here in verse 4. We see some things here that holiness is connected to. And look at it. First of all, look at the last portion of verse 4. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. See how holiness is connected to worship. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. You're holy. Therefore, all nations, men and women out of all nations, are going to come and worship before thee. You know there's no true spiritual worship but of a God who is holy. We cannot worship, neither should we worship a God that is impure or that is immoral, who has defects or spots or blemishes. Such a God cannot, neither should he be worshipped. What kind of a God do we worship? A holy God. Look over in Psalms chapter 96 with me. In Psalms chapter 96, and look in verse 8 and verse 9. Psalms chapter 96, and look right quickly in verse 8 and verse 9. Psalms 96 and verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come unto his presence, his court. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The beauty of holiness. The beauty. Holiness is the attribute of God that puts splendor upon all other attributes of God. Now listen to that. Holiness is the attribute of God that puts splendor upon all the other attributes of God. You know, we never read of God's beautiful power. We never read of that. We never read of His beautiful omnipotence or His beautiful omniscience. We never even read of His beautiful grace. Not of His beautiful love. But we read of His beautiful holiness. Holiness is the beauty of God. And it adds charm. It adds splendor to all the other attributes of God. What would power be if it wasn't from a holy God? We've seen dictators that have all kinds of power held the life and death of men in their hands. But there was no splendor in that power. He'd come to be despised. But when we talk about the power of God, what puts splendor to that power? What puts splendor to His omniscience? It's the holiness of His person. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Stephen Shonock said this. He said, power is God's arm. Omniscient is His eye. Mercy is His bowels. Eternity is His duration. But holiness is His beauty. The holiness of God. Worship in the beauty of holiness. You know there's no other way to worship God. We cannot worship Him unless we first and foremost worship Him in the beauty of holiness. King Jehoshaphat appointed singers to sing unto the Lord that they might praise the beauty of holiness. Praise the beauty of holiness. We cannot worship a God of love. We cannot worship a God of wrath. We cannot worship a just God. And we cannot worship a merciful God, but as we worship an holy God. That's the very foundation of our worship.
Yes.
Thou only art holy. Therefore, all nations shall come and worship thee. Holiness is connected to worship. And you know, this is where it begins. I bet you, if I asked any of you to tell me your experience of grace when the Lord saved you, one of the first things you would mention that God made you aware of Himself was His holiness. His holiness. That's where true worship begins. And men never will worship Him in spirit and in truth until He makes Himself known as holy. Holy. Something else here we find linked to holiness is this. Look back over in our text again. Look at the beginning of verse 4. Revelation chapter 15. And look in verse 4 again. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou art holy? Fear, reverence. That word means awe, to stand in awe. Who will not stand in awe of you and glorify you? Why? Why should they? Because He's holy. Because He's holy. The chief characteristics of a lost person is this, and the Bible tells us this. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Men and women continue on in sin. They love their sins. They serve their sins. All because they do not fear God. They will not come to fear their sins and abhor their sins and come to the Lord until first they fear God. What's the first thing they fear about God? His holiness. Who will not fear thee? Thou art a holy God. And you see people begin to come to the Lord for mercy and for salvation. They fear Him because He's holy. He's holy. Sin only appears exceedingly sinful when we begin to perceive the holiness of God. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. His holiness. There's just no right attitude towards God, except we perceive Him as holy. We cannot fear Him. We cannot glorify Him. He said, "Here, who will not glorify you?" I'm afraid. Are you afraid of sin? And we're only afraid of sin in the light of God's holiness. I'm afraid not to give Him all the glory. I fear not to do that. I want to ascribe to Him. I want to glorify Him. Why? He's holy. He's holy. He's eternally and unchangeably holy. And that's the way we serve Him. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And you know, this is one of the flippant attitudes that we see in so many churches today. Making fun of the Bible. Making jokes about holy things. And the reason people have gotten so flippant is this no fear of this holiness. Holiness. Holiness to the Lord. Who will not fear thy holy name? And something else here right quickly. That's linked to this holiness of God. And it's on here towards the last part of verse 4. For thou only art holy, and all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Judgments. The judgments of God. The decisions He makes. The deeds that He does. All that God does, all His judgments that He determines, all His judgments that He executes, all His works are done in holiness and in truth. Look here at our context. Look in chapter 16. Look in chapter 16. This, for instance, His judgments. Look at His judgments. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seventh angel, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome, a grievous, a foul, loathsome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul creature died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the waters, and the fountains of waters, rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, was, and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets. Thou hast given them blood to drink. They are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Look what he says over in the 19th chapter and in verse 1. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord God, for true and righteous are His judgments, for He has judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and has avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. God is known by His judgments. And when we see in the Word or we see around us that God is bringing judgment, that He's bringing decision, all of them are holy. They're holy. You see our first parents leaving the Garden of Eden, and their countenance are fallen. Their heads are bowed. They're leaving that beautiful garden because the Scripture says God drove them from the garden. How do you feel about that? How do you and I feel that God judged Adam and our first mother and found them to be guilty and drove them from that garden? Was that a just judgment? Was that a holy judgment? When you see the old world and God looked upon it and man had corrupted his ways and God spoke and said, I'm going to destroy man whom I have made. And He said, I'm going to send a flood and all life is going to die that's upon the earth. How do we feel about that? Do we see that judgment as holy, holy, holy? When we see this world and the skies are opened up and the Lord God appears and heaven and earth flees away and all the dead come and stand before the Lord and their names are not in the book of life and He casts them unto the lake of fire and brimstone. How do we feel about that? How do you feel about that? Do we say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God? Your judgments are true and righteous altogether. Everything He does, everything He decides to do is holy, holy, holy. Brother Mahan gave us something that his grandson said up here. I never will forget this because I was asking his grandson about it. Luke Coffey, Bob Coffey's son, Henry's grandson. I asked Luke about this. I said, Luke, your grandpa told us about an incident that happened while you were in school. And would you relate that to me? And he said, yes. And he was in school. His teacher was a Jewish lady. And they were going to study on the Holocaust, where Hitler killed so many Jews. And she had each student to come up and write one word that they thought best described God. And Luke said some would go up and put mercy and some love and some just. And Luke said, I went up and I took my piece of chalk and I wrote H-O-L-Y. Holy. And then they started there and they studied through the Holocaust. And he said that the bent of the teacher was to show God in an unjust life. How could God possibly let 6 million Jews die? How could He still be right in doing that? And when they finished their study, She said, now come back up in the light of what we've studied and write one more word, if you can think of it, in the light of the Holocaust, how you would describe God now. And Luke said, I went back up, and he said, I had room on the left side of holiness to put an holy, to put another word. And I put S-T-I-L-L. Still holy. Still holy. Still holy. All God's judgments are holy. When he ran our first parents out of the garden and judged them for the sin, he's holy. When he drowned the old world and everybody in it, he's holy. When he took the law away from his Jews, when he took the temple, when he sent Titus in to slay them and the blood run in the streets, he's holy. And when he winds up this history and he takes men to glory, into his presence, and when he puts them into hell, he's holy. His judgments are holy. Now, do we worship a God like that? We sure do, don't we? We tell our children, we tell our neighbors, we remind one another that God is holy. And any time he's pleased to judge, he may take my life, he may take your life, he may take the life of our children, he can do it, and when he does it, what do we say? Holy. 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 Look at one more scripture in closing. My time is gone. Look in Psalms chapter 22. Psalms 22. I think if you and I wanted to see a demonstration of the holiness of God, the best place to go would be the cross. There is where the holiness of God is on display more than in hell itself. Because there, the Son of God, the Son of God's love, His only Son, took the sins of His people and was hanging there upon the cross. Surely, if God was ever going to compromise, it would be there. He would spare His Son. He would say, surely I cannot smite my son. I cannot kill my son. I'll have to relinquish. I'll have to lay aside my holiness. But did he? No, he did not. He spared not his own son. Why? Because he's holy. And look what the Lord Jesus said here in Psalms 22 and 1. And you and I remember very well when he spoke this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know the Lord Jesus knew why. Glenn, you've often said it. He wasn't asking to get information. He was wanting you and me to consider why God would forsake His Son. Why God would turn His eyes. Why God turned His back upon His Son. You know why? S-I-N. You mean He was a sinner? You know what? He took all of our sins. And He took them into His own body. And He said, these are mine. These are now my sins. I stand responsible for Him. Every sin, I stand responsible for Him. What did God do? God smote Him. God smote Him. God afflicted Him. God looked upon Him, and let me say this, to stress this. God looked upon His Son as being the worst cursed sinner that ever lived. Does not the Scripture say that? In Galatians 3:13, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree. Who cursed Him? Cursed of God. He's cursed of God. He's under the wrath of God. Why is that? God is holy. And look what the Lord Jesus said in verse 2. My God, I cry in the daytime, but you hear not. And in the night season, I am not silent. But look at this. But thou art holy. You're holy. You've smitten me. You brought me to the dust of death. But thou art holy. I tell you what, it makes me concerned for myself and for other people. Because if God is so holy that He spared not His Son, He's not going to spare you. He's not going to spare me. If we're found outside of Christ, God will smite us. Judgment will come. Because God is holy. And yet, knowing all of that now, having the Holy Spirit to teach us this, what do? We love it. We love it. He's brought us to love holiness. And we give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. And we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And we just sing about His holiness. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we loved it, didn't we? And it sounded so beautiful. Why? Because He's brought us to know Him. He saved us by His grace. And where holiness used to make us afraid, now we love it. And we long for the day, by God's grace, when the Son of God shall descend from heaven with a shout and change these vile bodies and make them like unto His holy body, His glorious body. And then only, can we worship Him in the beauty of holiness as He's worthy of. God bless His word to our hearts.